and you have made him your Lord, and you trust him, and you believe that he is going to bring your life to be the best thing it can be, not necessarily the easiest, but the best thing, are you trusting him the way that a sheep trusts and follows their shepherd? Or do we sit there and go, I don't know about that, God. No, I wouldn't have done it that way. No, I would have done it this way. No, I think you should, hang on, let's sit down. Let's email back and forth a little bit. We'll debate, we'll come up to the right decision, and then I'll get a few more people involved, and then we'll go ahead with it. Do we start to live our Christian lives in that way? Or do we say, God, this may be scary. This may be different. This may be what I've done for 20 years, but I'm trusting that you are leading me to the right place. I've got to hold my hands up and say that I have had many, many times when I've argued with God, debated with God, ignored God, counseled God, advised God, explained to God the ways that youth work should be done in today. Now, you don't understand, God. You know, I know your gospel is there and it's an ending truth, but we've got to work out how to get it into Facebook. You know, we've got to work that way. And the amount of times that I just forget that, well, God is the shepherd. He already knows what he's doing. He already understands. He's seen it all. And I don't know what's coming up, but he already knows about it. When he takes us to feed, when a shepherd takes sheep to feed, shepherd doesn't normally take them to a place where he knows they're going to be in severe danger, where he's going to be risking his life constantly, where he's going to lose several. You know, a shepherd doesn't think, oh, it's all right. I went in with 100, I got out with 67. Not bad today. That's not generally good kind of economics for farmers and for shepherds. How many times have we also believed that the grass was greener? Oh, if I could just get to there, if it could just be like this, or if we just went there, or things were just like this, it would be sorted. I'd be sorted. Me and God would be sorted. And is God saying, I know where the grass is greener, because I'm the shepherd, and I'm bringing you to the place you need to feed on. When we read the Gospels, Jesus kind of does this in a really simple way. He doesn't rock up and go, hey guys, so I'm actually the Son of God, and you know about how God is a shepherd and he will lead you, and you believe that from your scriptures, and so what's going to happen now is I'm going to be your shepherd, so I need you to all line up and follow where I'm going to go. He doesn't do that. In Mark chapter 1 verse 14 it says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time had come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So Jesus goes out and he starts to preach. And he says, heaven is coming. God is moving. Stuff is happening. You need to repent. You need to change your ways and turn back to God. And he says, as he walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Now, this has been preached on so many times, over and over and over, and it still astounds me every time I read that sentence, that verse. Jesus rocks and goes, hey guys, follow me. And they go, okay. And they do it. And there's some cultural reasons why. It's about recognizing that he's a rabbi and realizing that's one of the highest callings that you could do, and that you could leave. You didn't have to go and ply your father's trade. Actually, you had a chance to get back at the educated level. But equally, they recognize that when a teacher of God called you, you followed. You didn't sit there and go, what's the benefits? Is there healthcare? How much time do we get off? Is there going to be a way? They don't debate that. They don't discuss it. They follow. And that's how Jesus called his disciples. He called them on, and they followed him. The same way that a shepherd calls his sheep, and he follows. When the 5,000 rocked up to see Jesus, the Bible says he looked out upon them, And he felt sorry for them. He said, they're a sheep without a shepherd. So what does he do? He teaches them and he feeds them. Miraculously takes a little bit of food and multiplies it to feed his sheep. The picture of shepherd, as Andrew said, is used throughout Scripture. It was one of the most cultural things of the time to understand. People kind of got what a shepherd was, much more than we do today. But it was also the connotations around the idea that God is the shepherd, understands, is in charge, knows what he's doing, is skilled, and can do all the things that a sheep really can't do. I mean, if enough sheep charged a wolf, then maybe the wolf would run off. But generally, unless there's not much they can do, they certainly don't understand what it means to travel around, to find the right food. They're just driven by basic instinct. And what really hit me was, how often do we forget, and this is not to insult anyone, but that we are just sheep, that we are that base level when it comes to trying to compare ourselves with God. And yes, we're intelligent human beings. Yes, God gives us a brain. Yes, he wants us to think through and to pray and discuss. But at the end of the day, when God is leading us, are we going to follow like the dumb animal that we should? Because God is calling us. And that's tough, because when you're going, well, am I a dumb animal? Is that right? Should we just follow like dumb animals? I was told as a young person, don't follow the crowd, don't be a sheep. But the Bible tells us to be a sheep. Later on, in Matthew 25, Jesus gives a story, and he says, there's going to be two types of people. There's going to be sheep, and there's going to be goats. And the sheep are going to do all the things they've been asked to do, and they were told to do, and they're going to do it for whoever they come across, because they were following me. And the goats, well, they're stubborn. And they think they're a bit better, and they think they can climb hills, and they can eat whatever they want, and go where they want, and they grow little beards, and they think they're hip and cool. And he's like, but they don't follow. They don't do what's required. But they try and make out that they are. They try and say, well, we kind of did that, but it wasn't you. It wasn't, it wasn't worth it, or we didn't think it was going to matter. If we're going to follow God, the shepherd, then are we going to be the sheep? Are we going to say, God, that is your will for us? Then that is what will be done. Because Jesus taught us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, you say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are holy, you are great, you are mighty. Let your will be done on earth as in heaven. We pray that. We say that sometimes week in, week out. And it terrifies me every single time we say that, because I think that is a scary prayer. Because God's will is often not necessarily our will. God's will sometimes is something far greater and far bigger, or maybe far challenging than maybe where we're at. Admittedly, not everything God will ask you to do will be earth-shattering and life-changing. Sometimes God asks you to do the most amazing thing, which you think, that is awesome, I love that, and I want to do that anyway. So don't feel that if you're comfortable right now in your faith, that you're going well with God, that you're not being a sheep, because you may well be, absolutely. I'm kind of talking to us, and this is me, hands up, who are often the goat who wants to fight, who wants to do his own thing, who wants to eat what he wants to eat and do his own thing. And he's saying, let your will be done as long as it fits into my busy schedule, and it's okay, and my wife is happy with it, and my children allow me to have enough sleep on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes you wonder, is that the prayer we're trying to bang out? Because if that's what we're doing, then we're not recognizing God as shepherd. Mark 2. And we're looking at verse 13. It's another corner of one of the disciples. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Good sheep. While Jesus was having a dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? And this just reminds me, when we think back to Psalm 23, which Peter Manske will throw back on the screen, from verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jesus didn't come, as he said, to be a doctor to the well, to greet those who were already right with God and understood what it meant to be right with God. Jesus didn't hang out with John and his disciples after he was baptized. Why? Because they kind of already got it. John understood what it meant to have repentance. And he said, this is the Messiah, you need to follow him. So Jesus carried on. He went to those he needed to hear. And the fact that God is saying way back before then, he's like, I will prepare a table for you amongst your enemies. I'm coming to be amongst these people. We are sheep and we are led by God, and God will look after us. He will feed us. He will protect us. But it doesn't ever say that he will give us the easy road. I don't know if you've ever watched One Man and His Dog. I've seen like maybe half an episode cobbled together from three different episodes before. But they don't kind of do it on a nice playing field next to a school. They're usually out somewhere, you know, they're out on a mountainside, they're out doing something, and they've got this amazing sort of way to shout across the echoing, across the Welsh valleys or wherever it is. It's rough, it's ready, it's difficult terrain. You can understand how you lose a sheep or two, because one wrong foot and they just roll down the hill. You've got to go and get them. But yet, where they're taken to by the shepherd is the best place for them. It's the best grasses. When we go to Quinta, if you come to Quinta, you'll see sheep kind of scattered along, and you think, oh, isn't that nice? And then when you go to walk down to the woods, you think, this is a death trap. There's like potholes and stuff and things everywhere. But this is where the sheep are led. This is where they're looked after. God is not going to take us into an easy road. He's not going to say, follow me. Jesus said that the world will hate me, and as the world will hate me, it will hate you too as my followers. And if you need any more convincing that, just look at what happened just before he was crucified. His best friend, the guy who said he would die for him when he was put on the spot outside in the courtyard where Jesus was being wrongly accused for all these things. And he said, no, I don't know. No, nothing to do with me. I don't want to get mixed up in this mess, because this has just got real and it's got scary, and I want to just back away right now from this if I can. And that's when we kind of stop being a sheep. Because we say, no, I want to move away from this. I'd like to do my own thing. I want to go over there. It looks nicer over there. It looks better over there. And the challenge is, are we willing to follow God? When it's going great and the grass is green and it's lush and full of wool and any other analogy you want to make, when it's wonderful, it's easy and great, are we following God? When we're taking up the side of the mountain, and it gets hard, and it gets cold, and the rain comes in, the difficulties and the struggles and the challenges, are we still being a sheep and following God? Or do we then want to become a goat all of a sudden and kind of run off on our own path and eat whatever we can find lying around? If we follow God, if we believe that Yahweh is my shepherd, then we've got to treat him as our shepherd, which means we listen to his call, we follow his lead. Because as it says in the end of the Lord's Prayer, he says, lead us not into temptation. Not don't let temptation come to me, but it's lead us not into temptation. As in, as I follow, lead me in that right way. We've got to be sheep people. I know it's not glamorous, but I'm talking in comparison to God here. You know, God is amazing and we are a sheep. But a sheep that God died for. A sheep that God said, I will spill my blood so that yours doesn't need to be spilled. You know, it was a lamb in the Old Testament that was killed and put across the doorposts in Egypt. But later on, Jesus said, now we're done with that now. No more sheep dying for what should happen. No more sheep dying for sin. No more sheep dying for a rescue plan. Let me be the person who dies. I will be the shepherd and I will die. I will take on all that is bad and I will take the ultimate punishment. But our shepherd didn't stay dead. Miracle, amazing. Back to life. So the sheep can go, ace, we can follow. Let's keep going before we had to stop. But we don't have to stop. We can keep following. Let's be a sheep. Let's not be a goat. Let's not be stubborn. Let's not do our own thing. Let's hear God's word. Let's hear what he's calling us to do. And let's follow him. And sometimes just put ourselves back in that place. And that, I think, is probably the most uncomfortable thing. And the crux of all this is it's when you have to forget about yourself, says one of the most arrogant people that I know stood up here right now. When you have to forget about yourself and realize I am not in charge. I am not sovereign. I am a dirty, stupid sheep following the perfect shepherd. And that is the way it needs to be. And on that note, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are amazing, that you are perfect, that you are fantastic, that you are the shepherd. And Lord, I thank you that you love us as your sheep, that you love us enough to die for us, to make the ultimate sacrifice, that you say that you will come and looking for us, that you will seek us out, that you will search for us. Lord, I pray that we can hear your voice, that we can follow. Lord, I am sorry for the time when I have tried to do my own way, when I have felt that I could do it better, or that I would not listen. Or when I felt the grass was greener, I thought I knew the best thing to do. Father, I pray that we can understand that you are in charge and that you desire to lead us to the best thing possible. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to follow you. Help us to be sheep. Amen.